So let's pray again. Lord, as we look into your word, empower us to see things we couldn't see apart from your spirit, to hear deep in our souls things that you have been longing to say to us, lover of our souls. Lord, we long for you, we look for you, we wait for you. Bless this time, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So for part of our time away last week on our anniversary, Carrie and I made a day trip to Bald Head Island. We had to do it. It was almost a pilgrimage of sorts. And of course, the highlight of the visit there was to the beautiful lighthouse there, also known as Old Baldy. And we've got a thing for lighthouses, and we've visited all of them in North Carolina, save one, just one left. And because this was Old Baldy, I came away with a mug and a hat, let me tell you. But we also left with some fresh insight about how the world tugs away at us. If you've never been to Bald Head Island, you have to take a ferry to get there, and there are no cars allowed, and everyone gets around with golf carts. Well, just about everyone. Carrie and I didn't. We walked around, and I'm glad we did. I think we got a little more out of the visit that way. One of the things we discovered was this beautiful little chapel tucked away not far from the lighthouse. It was right on the intercoastal waterway and was surrounded by these old oaks and Spanish moss. Fascinating, fascinating place. And because it was open, we went in and we sat quietly away from the rush for a moment, just sitting in God's presence. And while we were there, he began to show me some things. I began to see how I had been a little bit too distracted by some of the beautiful homes around me, you know, and it was as if somewhere in the back of my mind an old Beach Boys song was playing, "Wouldn't It Be Nice," until God gently stepped over and turned down the radio. The longer I sat there in God's presence, the more I realized how so much stuff often, so often, comes with a price that I really wouldn't want to pay. I thought of some of the very wealthy people whom I have known and how they really weren't happy, how their hearts were torn and they were rarely at peace because they were worried about maintaining all that they had. And you know how that is. You get something you value, and then you worry about taking care of it or potentially losing it. So just multiply that. And then I realized something else. I realized I'm already happy. I have so much in my heart, so much in my life, because of what God has done for me, and because of my relationship with him. And that has made me wealthier than I know. Yeah, you know, maybe not in things, although I have more than I need. But in so many ways that go deeper than I could ever possibly describe. A deeper happiness. That's what we're going to be looking at this morning, talking about this morning. So hold on to that thought for a moment as we head into the Word of God in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Now, please read along in your Bibles. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation, which gives a very plain spoken translation of some deep truths in these verses. And after I read it, as Jarek plays And again, we're so grateful for Jarek and for Paige and their faithfulness. But after I read it, please take a moment to look through it again and ask God to give us fresh understanding into it through His Spirit. Here we go. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's ponder that again and pray that God will bless it to us as we look through it. My mom used to love to sing the old hymn, "His Eye is on the Sparrow." Now, if you don't know it, it has these words in the chorus: "I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me." And I used to tease her sometimes when she'd sing it and kind of mimic her. And anyhow, I did it because I was a kid and because I hadn't lived into the truth that she knew was there. She was genuinely happy in her heart, in spite of some of the difficulties, which were very real, that she had faced in her life. But she was genuinely happy because of Jesus and her relationship with Him. So happy that sometimes my mom's life was a little like a musical. She would just spontaneously break into song, and 90% of the time, it was a hymn. Because she just loved God, and it overflowed from her. And that was the happiness described by these first two verses of Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully, hear that? Confidently and joyfully, in other words, happily, look forward to sharing God's glory. Now, you'll notice that verse 1 begins with therefore. Therefore. This is how this whole passage starts. Therefore. So that's the continuation of a thought. But what thought does that continue? Well, that's from the previous verse, or from the previous chapter, Romans chapter 4, verse 25. He, meaning Jesus, was handed over to die because of our sins, and He was raised to life to make us right with God. There it is. handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Now that is an amazing love. That's what this passage is describing. This is why we can have this confident hope, because of this love that goes deeper than anything we know. But just knowing that we are loved like this makes such a difference if we keep it, if we keep him close to our hearts. Chapter 5, verse 6 says, "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. He did for us what we could never do for ourselves. And because of that, you and I can actually live in this love with him, with our Father, with our Creator. A real relationship that isn't just words and nice things that preachers say, but that makes a difference in the most poignant places of our lives. A real relationship that goes on forever and ever." So verse 8 says, "God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." God initiated this closeness, invites us to it, and by an act of simple faith, through his Spirit, we can have a new existence with him that nothing compares to. Now, we might look at this and say, "Well, I know that. You know, I've heard those words. Conceptually, I know that." But the point is, do we know it practically? And have we asked God to make it real to us in the most practical ways, in the most practical places in our lives? Because we need to do this, and this is one of the reasons why we need to be so open with God when we pray. After all, he knows us so well. He knows everything about us. And the more we pour out our hearts to him, the more we open ourselves to him. And the more he can pour into us. So I'd like to ask you for a moment to pause and consider, am I happy because of these things, because I'm living at peace with God, because of Jesus? Am I truly, genuinely, deeply, in my soul, happy? Now, this isn't Julie Andrews, Madman on a Mountaintop, twirling around kind of, and Bob's loving it because we have so many musical references this morning, but this isn't a superficial kind of thing. This is a happiness that God desires for each of us. And it doesn't mean that there won't be times where we deeply grieve, but this happiness goes deeper still and surprises us in our grief. It's like God was there all along and then brings us up and out of it. That's who he is. That's what he does. So ask yourselves, as Jarek plays for a moment, let's prayerfully consider, am I happy because of him, in him? Is that where my happiness comes from? Let's ponder that. So again, this happiness reaches deeper than we know. So the last part of verse 5 says, "For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." I like the way the NIV translates this concept as well. It says, "God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given us." In that instance, that's a more accurate translation. This concept of pouring out is in the original language, and it describes this effusive generosity. And that's how God is. That's how God gives. Our lives are meant to be immersed in this love that is poured into us and then flows out of us into others. This love is the living water Jesus promised. Jesus said in John 7:37, and later, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Then John explains, "By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive." So do you see the connection there? The Spirit flows into us in love. God's love has been poured into our hearts through his Spirit, right? And then flows out from us into a desperate world. This is the living water Jesus describes. Now, if you're not careful, as you look into the Scripture, if you look at verses 3 and 4, so many of the sermons I've heard about this focus tend to overemphasize those verses. They tend to focus so much on what those verses are about. And they're vital. They're important. You see the words about rejoicing in problems and the building of strength and endurance and perseverance. You can see all of that, but you can misinterpret that to mean that it's somehow up to us. You know, it's kind of like, well, you can do this, but the truth is that our part is just to cling to him. That's what it comes down to. God's work, God's strength. That's the true meaning of this passage. God's power at work within us. I love the way John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, and you know I'm quoting him a lot lately because I'm reading his letters, and I find them fascinating, and I love reading biographies and letters from people who have genuinely walked with God, and you know, they're sharing what he has done in their lives, and no matter what century you read it from, it's the same. You know, there's this recognition, this is the same Lord that I know. He was at work, you know, hundreds of years ago in someone's heart and life in the same ways that I recognize it. And I find that breathtaking because God does not change. But this is what John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, wrote when he described the happiness in his life because of Jesus. He had just been through a difficult season where he had lost his hearing temporarily. And then it came back. Afterwards, he wrote to a friend, "The life of faith is a happy life. It is not happiness. Is it not happiness to have an infallible guide, an invisible guard, an almighty friend, to be able to say of the maker of heaven and earth, 'He is my beloved, my shepherd, my savior, and my dearest.'" Actually, the word that he used there was husband. But, you know, it's like my spouse, my closest. Oh, the peace that flows from believing that all events are under his immediate disposal, that the hairs of our head are all numbered, that he delights in our prosperity, and that if we are in heaviness, there is a reason for it, and that all things shall work together for our good. How happy to have such views of his sovereignty, wisdom, love, and faithfulness. So that's the same happiness that Paul is writing about in Romans 5, verses 3 through 5, when he says, "We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us to develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with him." So see, that's the real emphasis there. God has poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. The emphasis isn't upon the endurance and the patience. It's upon the Holy Spirit. It's upon the filling of God's love to meet us, even us. If we've received Him, if we cling to Him, no matter how difficult it may be, if we keep going and our lives are always moving in God's direction, we will discover Him to be nearer than we know. And we'll also discover that it is He who's actually enabling us to do this, keeping us going. And He has already received us with love, and we have a happiness at work within us that is deeper because of Jesus. And we will continue to discover what this means as we walk with Him. As you go through a trial, you might think of the times that God has been faithful to you in the past. And remember, this is so important, remember that when you were in that time, you didn't know if God would be faithful. And then all of a sudden He meets you there, and you realize, and now looking back and you see it, and you say, yeah, He was. And we need to ask His Spirit to fill us with this awareness and strengthen us in this. I'll leave you with just a little story, and I hope you'll like me after I tell it. But we used to have two beautiful little parakeets. There was a yellow one, and there was a green one. The bright yellow little male loved to sing. But every time he started to sing, his mate would squawk at him. And all we heard was this noise. He'd start to sing and then just be meow. And then one day one of our daughter's friends was visiting, and it was at this time that Stephanie had this giant Norway rat. You know, those are the common rats, but he was actually the most docile. She had seven rats at one time, and he was the most docile. He would ride around on my shoulder. Don't, you know, maybe that's the company I keep, I don't know, but he and I got along real well. And one day, one of Stephanie's friends, just for a moment, just holds this big rat up to the parakeet cage for a moment, as if to say hi, you know, or the animal world, I guess. And then the next morning, we go out to feed the parakeets, and one of them, the poor little parakeet is dead. But what happens is her little mate started to sing, and we had never really been able to hear him like that before, and he had this beautiful little voice. Now, there's a moral to this story, and it's not what some of you guys might think, so cut that out. Here it is. Sometimes, the world will distract us and try to persuade us that we really don't have reason to be happy. And you will hear it squawk at you. You'll only be happy if you have this one thing. You'll only be happy if you have this relationship or arrive at this place in life. But God would speak quietly to our spirits, as He does through His Word. As Paul wrote later in one of the later chapters in Romans, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. That's the J.B. Phillips translation. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, the NIV says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Is this not the very thing Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount? You know, don't run after these things. Your Father knows that you need them. What is your life? Your life passes so quickly. Instead, seek his kingdom first. And all these things will be added to you. But I think where Jesus is going is deeper than things. He's going after the satisfaction that we think things will bring us, that we think this world can bring us, that he alone can bring us. Find our happiness in Christ and we will keep it forever. Look for it in this world apart from him, and you may be happy now and then, but not what you could be. Try to have both Christ and the world, and we'll make ourselves miserable. But give yourself to him, open yourself to him, live with him, for him, through him, and he will pour his Spirit into you, his love, his joy, his peace, the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering, self-control. He'll pour himself into you and me. God's love has been poured into our hearts through his Spirit, whom he has given us. Go there, wait before him, wait with him, love him, be with him, and he will fill you and me to overflowing with a hope that breaks out in so much happiness sometimes you'll even want to sing. And it's all for a simple reason. Because the closer we get to him, the more we know ourselves. And the more we find the truth of these words, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Completely undeserved. Oh, such is the measure of his love. So loved are we. Not because of anything we've done. Just because God is so good. Oh, don't miss that. We can't miss that. Robert Louis Stevenson, the author of Treasure Island, wrote, "To miss the joy is to miss all." And oh, he was right about that. So right. We are so loved. Let's run to our Savior. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you that you meet us no matter where we've come from, no matter where we are, no matter what our struggles, no matter what our weaknesses and faults or what the world says about us, you meet us and you love us and you would draw us near to yourself. So Lord, we come to you right now. As we come to you, we want to say we're sorry for looking in other places, for the happiness that only you can give. And we ask that you will help us to keep our hearts focused, especially today on this Lord's Day, but every day. Lord, thank you. We will never come to an end of your goodness. We will never come to an end of your love. Thank you that eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor mind conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But as the verse continues, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Thank you that by your Spirit you will continue to pour into us so that even we may overflow. Oh, we worship you. We worship you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's join together now in singing our last song.